Well, you may not know that at one point in time, many years ago, International Harvester was the fourth largest company in the world. It was also the largest employer in the city of Fort Wayne for most of the 20th century. Joining me here today on Hoosier Ag Today is Ryan Duvall. He founded a nonprofit organization called Harvester Homecoming, which not only recognizes the impact that International Harvester had on the city of Fort Wayne, but also celebrates the many folks who worked for International Harvester for many, many years. First of all, Ryan, tell me a little bit about the history of that connection between International Harvester and the city of Fort Wayne.
It's interesting, as you do some research you do on history, it is hard to figure things out. But what we've discovered is, so in the late teens, International Harvester was growing rapidly. Truck production was ramping up, and they needed a place for a new factory. The vehicles that they were making at the time, you know, other than agriculture, that is, you know, the trucks and buggies made in Akron, Ohio, and there were problems there because the area they did it in was landlocked. They couldn't add on to the plant. They didn't have a lot of workers that could staff a plant the size they were talking about. It was going to be the biggest vehicle plant in the world. So the International Harvester went out and started lobbying and bidding for cities to try to win this new plant. And as far as we know, you know, that happens all the time now. Subaru wants to build a plant. All these cities try to, you know, make a pitch for it. Or if the new Scout Motors that's building a new Scout, they did same thing. Well, that's really the first time in U.S. history that we can find where a company did the outreach to find a city to build a plant. And, you know, there were 20 some odd candidates, and Fort Wayne won out, mostly because city officials here formed a special branch of the Chamber of Commerce, came up with a team to work on this, and they found enough land. They agreed to build a neighborhood next to the plant so people would have a place to live that work there, agreed to run a trolley line out there, run the water needs and all of that kind of things were huge. And Fort Wayne won and then started construction in 1920. And the first trucks were built in December of 1923, and there were 24 models that came out the next year.
And for many years, we're talking the better part of 60 years, this particular factory for International Harvester meant a great deal to the city of Fort Wayne and employed a huge percentage of the folks who lived and were a part of the Allen County area. In fact, what can you tell me about 1979 in particular in terms of what's the factory and what International Harvester meant to the city of Fort Wayne at that time?
You know, actually, if you peel back about 5 years, five or, you know, maybe even 10 years is when it was really at its peak. And by 1979, things were getting a little tough in the economy, and they'd already had some cutbacks. But at its peak, it employed 10,600 or so folks. And there was, you know, over several different facilities. Not only did you have a heavy duty truck plant, you had a Scout plant, you had the company's main engineering center, where essentially a truck was built from paper to prototype, and you had a test track, you had parts distribution, you had, I mean, just there was, over 11 buildings, 12 buildings that were serving International Harvester. That's the other thing. It was the first industrial park ever built in America. But that sort of happened over time because you build a plant, and then you got to add on. Next thing you know, you got an industrial park. But, it says 10,600 people, which is a good chunk. You had trucking companies, North American Van Lines, for example. You had Fruhoff Trailer located just around the corner. You had Dana Axle right across the next door. There were so many companies linked to that truck works, even, you know, from tow trucks to machine shops to tire sellers to everything, that they probably was responsible for employing 30,000 plus every year that it was running.
My guest is Ryan Duvall. He's one of the founders, if not the founder, of Harvester Homecoming, which celebrates the International Harvester connection with the city of Fort Wayne. And I'm curious, Ryan, about your personal connection to International Harvester. You grew up Terre Haute, And here you are, you live in Fort Wayne, and you have this passion for International Harvester. I know a lot of folks who collect antique tractors, but tell me a little bit about your own personal connection with International Harvester and your drive to continue this history and legacy of the company in Fort Wayne.
You know, it started on a farm like most kids. My dad grew up on a farm in Carroll County. He and his 12 brothers and sisters, and they worked the farm. And as I was a youngster growing up, I spent a lot of time there with my grandparents and my uncles. And that's where I drove my first International truck. It was a 1953 pickup my uncle owned. We used to throw feed in the back and drive it back to the woods to feed hogs. And it had a three on the tree, and you learned how to drive it. And from there, you had grain trucks and other things. And you just, you know, IH was the big brand then, but it didn't really become a huge deal for me until I turned 16 and my dad handed me the keys to a 1974 Scout. It was a truck I did not want because it was, you know, it had a little rust, it had a little Bondo. It wasn't, a sexy sports car for sure. But that's what he gave me to drive, and it was probably the greatest thing he ever gave me because at the time, my dad had a 64 Scout when I was younger, and it was brown, and it had a 152 four-cylinder engine, and it barely could putt down the road, and I just thought that thing was the silliest thing I'd ever seen. About 2 years before I got my license, a yellow truck showed up out front. He traded the brown one for a yellow one that was just as ugly, and it still didn't appeal to me, and I assumed it was just like that brown one, you know, a little putter with a four-cylinder engine. So when I was getting my license, I wanted no interest in this little truck that wouldn't go fast. And then, you know, my dad made me realize that yellow truck was a Scout II with a 345 Harvester engine, which is the best engine International Harvester ever made. And that engine would go. And it was made that Scout II the most rugged SUV in the world. And so I fell in love with that truck shortly after he gave it to me and drove it until I couldn't drive it anymore. And so that's sort of where the roots were. In 1999, after I'd long sold the Scout and had to have a more reliable transportation because, you know, you need something that starts every morning and, you know, isn't rusting and all that stuff, I moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana to work for the newspaper. And I'd lived here about 2-3 weeks, maybe a month. Called my dad one day and says, you know, because I always thought maybe someday I'd get a Scout again. It was always kind of the thought. Called my dad one day and I said, "Hey man, Dad, there's a lot of Scouts up here. I've been surprised how many I've seen. I might be able to find one up here." And he says, "Hey dummy, that's where they built them." I as a kid, I didn't care where they built them. I didn't have any idea. But the ironic twist of that is that when I moved to Fort Wayne, even though the newspaper took you on a tour of the city and showed you everything, you know, to welcome you to town, nobody talked about that aspect of Fort Wayne because the plant quit building trucks in 1983. And even though the engineering facility remained until 2012, you know, it was still sort of one of those things we didn't talk about because it was so sad when they pulled out of town in 1983. So I started looking into it and I was fascinated by the structures, how they were still there. The integrity of all the plant buildings are still there. They're still being used by companies now. And it just, then you roll around a few years later, well, several years later, about 2012, 13, maybe, my dad starts talking about final wishes, bucket list type stuff. And he tells me he wants to buy me a Scout again. And I'm not going to say no, and I'm about ready for one. You know, I've been all these years. And so we found a truck in late 2018 in the fall, and I brought it home, and my wife and kids who, you know, loved it. And I took it out by the old Harvester Tower, which is an iconic piece of architecture here at the old heavy duty plant. It's a huge tower that was once covered a water tank, but it became an icon for the city, an icon for the company. Still standing, it's protected, it will always be there. Took a picture of my truck underneath that tower, my new Scout, and wrote a column in the Journal Gazette newspaper that I worked for that was about my connection to the city of Fort Wayne through a truck. And I talked to some people that worked there. I didn't make it all about me and my pretty new truck, but I interviewed some retirees and some people. And in that column I wrote, I said, you know, up in Auburn, Indiana, which is just north of here, they have museums for the Auburn Cords and Duesenbergs, and they have a huge festival every year. South Bend honors the Studebaker yearly. It's a big festival. over in Toledo, they have Jeep events. It's just, why aren't we doing something here, even though International is still an active company, and even though they pulled out of Fort Wayne more or less twice at different points? What happened here was important enough we should remember it, especially that Scout, which was an iconic vehicle. Well, that article came out and it got people talking, of course, and next thing you know, someone suggests, why don't we do a cruising or something out at the old Scout plant? Wouldn't that be neat? Get all these people, because, you know, the advent of social media had made it easier to find out, hey, there's a lot of people that like old Scouts. So I said, well, let's see about doing this. And in early 2019, we with some help, of, you know, obviously working at the newspaper, I had some connections through the radio and just from knowing people over the years. And I had a little meeting about talking about, let's have a truck show. And that was the roots of Harvester Homecoming. And we formed a 501c3 nonprofit for the thing in April of 2019. And 6 months later, had a show and blew this out of the water, surprised everyone, was automatically the biggest truck show in the state, one of the easily one of the biggest single brand festivals in the country. And it was all history from there, so to speak.
Ryan Duvall, the founder of Harvester Homecoming, is my guest here on Hoosier Ag Today. And you talk about how International Harvester first started manufacturing trucks in 1922, 1923, for the better part of 60 years. And you talk about how sad it was for the community when the factory stopped manufacturing trucks in 1983 because of the economy and because the direction of the company at that point in time. But today, all these years later, you talk to folks who used to work for International Harvester in Fort Wayne, and there is a great deal of pride when you talk to those folks many years after the fact. They look back at that time, and many of the folks that you've interviewed for a documentary that you've put together, they talk glowingly about their time working for International Harvester, Ryan.
Yeah, even people who lost their jobs when the plant left town still, you know, I get emotional for their emotions, but they still shed tears, you know. And because the thing about it was a different time in the world. And I don't know if, you know, younger folks that hear this will understand that it was a time when everything was built here. You know, International Harvester built their own nuts and bolts at a, you know, up north, up near Chicago. You know, it had a foundry where they made that stuff. Every part on the truck was made. You know, we had an axle. We had a forge shop on site here where they forged axles and, chassis and things. But the bigger thing with International Harvester was, you know, they had a very sort of an anti-nepotism policy. You know, if I was working for International Harvester and I was a good hard worker, and then my brother needed a job, they're going to hire him because they figure he's a good hard worker. If, the guy who works on the line marries the gal working in a data punch, that's a good thing because those two are both, you know, married to them, to each other, married to the job. They wanted the family atmosphere at the plant. There's a young lady who is a volunteer of ours named Lindsay Spohr, and she, her family, we have a timeline we display in the museum. In 1925, her great-great-granddaddy started at the Fort Wayne Truck Works. And you go four generations later, you know, you had 14 different people work for that company in one family. So the roots were deep for a lot of people, and that love never went away. And they were always proud of what they built. And, you know, they always, when they built it here, when the company decided to leave, it didn't erase the fact that they knew that, that they changed the world here and did some things that changed America in a lot of ways. So they're very, very much still prideful about it.
Ryan, you mentioned the Scouts, which was built, started in which year did the Fort Wayne facility start building the Scout, by the way?
1961 was the first year for production of the Scout.
What were some of the other large trucks that were built that we may know about today that were made right there in Fort Wayne? I know the cab over trucks were a part of that production, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the Scout was really the only light line, as they called it at the time, the only light line vehicle built in Fort Wayne. It was the heavy, this city was known as the heavy duty truck capital of the world for most of its, you know, those 60 years, because they produced more heavy duty trucks there than anyone was in the world. They built over 1 million trucks in Fort Wayne over that time. And, over 1.5 million trucks, I should say, and over 1 million of them were heavy duty trucks. It's, you know, started out with, you had the cab over next to the Scout, probably the Transtar 4070, which was a cab over truck, a flat. I always tell people it's the flat nose trucks that, like you sat above the engine, and it became a thing. It became necessary, because of the time, transportation laws were, you were allowed to, if you were a guy driving a truck with a trailer, you were allowed X amount of feet from nose to tail, and it counted the trailer and the truck. So if you didn't have a nose out the front of the truck, you know, a hood, so to speak, that meant you had more space to haul. So that flat and narrow cab counted against your length less, so you had more hauling space. So they became a vital piece of equipment across the country, and International made the cab over semis better than anyone else. They made them stylish and did fancy brome designs that are legendary. If you just get on Google and type in Transtar Eagle 4070, you'll see some really beautiful old semi trucks. Eventually that law was changed to where they only measure the trailer. So you started seeing hoods and noses back on trucks because the only, you know, they weren't comfortable to drive. They weren't, you know, they bobbed and bounced and they were awkward, but you know, I still favor those as probably the second best vehicle they made, but they made everything, you know, large dump trucks to concrete mixers, to school buses, to, you know, and every model you get, you know, you think of the farm, they made Lodestars, Fleet Stars, Pay Stars, everything. There wasn't a truck, you know, well, another, the big one was, you know, during the World War II, they made the M24 troop haulers that, you know, you can, it's sort of funny, but they more or less won World War II for us. They were 4x4s and 6x6 trucks that could go through the European terrain and get places where none of the European trucks could go because they just weren't strong enough to handle it. So, yeah, the big trucks, one of my sayings when I started this was the Scouts were cool, but the big trucks ruled.
Chatting with Ryan Duvall with Harvester Homecoming here on Hoosier Ag today. And Ryan, your passion for the connection among the folks, the thousands of Hoosiers who worked there in Fort Wayne, led you to produce a television documentary about the story of those folks who worked for International Harvester in Fort Wayne. Right, Ryan?
Yes. So after our first festival in August of 2019, and having my mind blown by the 12,000 some odd people and 600 trucks that showed up for a festival, I had 6 months to plan. I knew that it was going to be something, my life was different and that something had changed and I'd done tapped into something really special, but it was the people I met, most of them former engineers from the engineering center here. People who were just brilliant minds who did, you know, cause even when I started this festival, some of the things that I've just, you know, learned over the years, you never would have imagined happened right there at a truck factory. You know, people, I would say people that didn't work there probably drove by and said, oh, that's where they build the trucks. But I mean, they changed the world there, whether it was the war, whether it was, I mean, there was just so much technology and advancement going on there that, so I started realizing some of these stories I was meeting essentially for international truck enthusiasts, the people I was talking to were legends in people's minds. They may not even known what that person did. And I wanted to share that story and say, hey, I know the guy that designed the back window in the Scout that's such a signature piece of its design, you know, the slanted window. I know that guy. I met him. I didn't know it was him, but now I know. And so I said, I got to get these stories together. And so as a journalist, you know, I'll write a book. That's a lot of time. And that's you know, I said, let's do this. And I want to do a video document. Maybe we can do a documentary and at least get all this on, you know, because if you have a museum someday, you can have a TV show on these stories. So we started in early 2020, and we met with some people, you know, went to houses with myself and a volunteer videographer. And, you know, we did some interviews, and then, of course, the pandemic hit. So we sort of idled it for a while. But we did 7 different retirees slash former executives of the company, me and my volunteer. my buddy Bill, and we never really knew what we were going to do with it. But you know, because we're just, you know, he worked in the business, but I didn't. His idea was just, let's take it to PBS, because a documentary about the 4-Wayne Truck Works needs to be shared with everyone in the area. I don't want to, you know, put it on a DVD and try to make money off of it. I'd rather more people see it and appreciate it than fewer people see it and put money in our wallet. So we teamed up with PBS a few years later, and that was a huge, because it got the project done a lot faster. They were able to do all the video work and editing, and they teamed up with us on many of the interviews. But anyway, the documentary is called Truck Town, A History of International Harvester in Fort Wayne. It debuted back in April, and it was a huge hit, and it's really a, if I have to put a feather in my cap, that's one I did, because of the you know, dozens of people we interviewed, we've already lost five of them. There was a gentleman who was 103 years old, who was born two blocks from a factory in 21. I got to do the math, but he was born two blocks from a factory, worked there for 40 years, and you know, he was 103, and he'd been to every one of our shows, and I'd met him and loved him dearly, and he passed last year. So he was one of five we've lost from the show. I did restore that, kept that history, and keeping those people alive and the stories alive. It's a moment of pride for me. You know, even finding people that were active scout plant workers, because that closed in 1980. You know, you're going back a ways, and I know several of them. And, you know, there's a certain point where, like, there was nobody for me to interview that built trucks for the war effort in the 40s.
Oh,
just
wow.
None of those people still around. I mean, yeah. It's just, you know, you got to realize that those people are not anymore. But when you start seeing the people who work there, who are still alive, and we're still bright minds and vibrant, and you can see the look on their face when they talk about it. I had the pleasure of taking two original designers who helped design scouts over the years down to Nashville, Tennessee in October for the unveiling of a Scout Motors planned SUV. They wanted us there and one of the designers. And, you know, I sit around and talk to these two guys, and, you know, they were talking to some people. And they're like, well, who else worked? And they're like, well, who's left? I don't know. Well, he's gone. And they're like, well, maybe a lot. There's three of us left, I think, you know, and this is a design team of 40, 50 people that worked in that, you know, place. And, you know, they're getting down to single digits on how many of them are still with us. So it does. And I've lost some friends over these past, you know, 6 years, not only friends from the documentary that I met, but they all became, you know, the reason they were in the documentary is because we became friends first and I understood what their stories were. And, my daughter, who was really, you know, was pretty young at the time after I did the first show, we went in a parade in ironically in New Haven, Indiana. And it was right after the first show, and we were standing there in line for the parade route in my scout. And, you know, I had the fire chief and the mayor and all these people coming up talking to me, and he's just, you know, got in the truck. I said, it's really cool to be in a parade. And then she goes, yeah, Dad, but your truck was cool enough to be in any parade. I'm like, all right, well, thanks, daughter. I'm glad you appreciate my truck. But look at all the people we've met, and this show has just means so much to so many people. And, you know, as a young child, because childs just say it like it is, they don't say, well, you know, Dad, you do have a lot of new friends, but man, a lot of them are really old and you're not going to have them for long. And, you know, I kind of chuckled at that, but it, you know, there's some truth to that brutal honesty a kid gives you. So I treasure all the people I've met and treasure every day I have with them.
Ryan, tell me about the efforts that you've made through Harvester Homecoming to preserve the original buildings that were used for the International Harvester truck production facilities in Fort Wayne, as well as the efforts that you're making to put together a museum to honor that connection between the city of Fort Wayne and the people who used to work for International Harvester.
I'm sort of the dark cloud for these buildings and these structures because, you know, until I did that, you know, we had that first show and, you know, 2019, you know, this place sat out here. It was just like, you know, urban blight kind of thing. You'd see the old buildings, but nobody paid attention. Well, the first 2 years of our festival, we opened up the test track for folks to drive around on their trucks, which was a real treat. It was an off limits facility where, you know, only trucks and military trucks and semi trucks and stuff were tested. Well, after the first 2 years of the festival and some attention got on that site, someone swooped in and bought it and turned it into a auction yard. So bye-bye history, the oldest test track in the world, dating back to 1927, destroyed by a company that auctions automobiles. And, you know, I always wonder how much of me putting attention on that great facility ended up dooming it, you know, in the end. Then you go to the power plant, which was an iconic piece of the skyline over there, giant smokestacks. And it was a power plant the company built in 23, the city helped build to power the plant, but it also powered that neighborhood they built. Burned coal to turn it into energy, later gas, and then in the latest years, it just burned gas to supply heat to all the buildings through steam. But iconic building built in 19, you know, a power plant built in 1923. And we did we made it the sort of the focus of one of our themes one year, made shirts with IH power on it, you know, the power plant, and it had to be demolished because it was really old and unusable. But then I move into the engineering facility on Meyer Road, which is where they, you know, tested, built, or designed, tested, everything from blueprint to prototype, from 1950 to 2012. And that facility, I got a chance to move into there and bring our tiny collection of stuff in there, back in 2020, by the owner who was, you know, one of the people that helped me found it. And it had original testing units. It has a freezer where you can, where they used to test trucks down to negative 120. It had a hot room where air would blow to the front of a truck, hot air for 24 hours while they drove it. All this original testing equipment still intact in this building. And I said, this is really neat. I wish we could do a museum here someday. Well, lo and behold, Navistar at the time, International Motors is the name now, reached out to me shortly after the pandemic and wanted to offer us their historic collection of trucks. And we became basically the caretakers of that collection. We have over 60 trucks that Navistar collected. Like I said, International Motors now, I have a hard time saying that, but they just recently changed the name. The finest collection of international trucks in the world are our responsibility to take care of. And International Trucks sponsors us and pays us to do so. And so we had this giant engineering center where we were displaying the best international trucks ever built in the facility they were designed in. We had trucks in those test units. We had all sorts of displays that we cleaned up and so much original equipment, old wooden floor that a factory has, which was the perfect base for those trucks to be viewed. And we were there for 3 years doing a festival and working towards buying the massive facility to do the museum. And lo and behold, a couple of years ago, the county swooped in, bought the land. They wanted to build a jail on some property behind that facility. And although I worked and fought and tooth and nail for a good year and a half to try to work out a deal with the county so we could continue our efforts in that historic building, which was, I tell you, this was an opportunity to do something no one else in the world could do. Because there's no other facility like this that was, you know, it just closed in 2012. That's really not, that's, you know, 13 years ago. It's still pretty modern in some ways, but it dated back to 1950, and there are 1950 pieces to it. And there was a special opportunity to show people where history happened, exactly where it happened. But the county did not want to even entertain the idea of us doing it, and they evicted us last year. I don't know what the future of that engineering facility is going to be. They say they want to plan to put offices in it someday, but I think it's best suited as a museum, to be honest with you. And we haven't given up on that dream, but you never know. But at this point, it's dead because the county did not want to even consider it. So that building went away. So I've failed with the track. I failed with that building, and now we're over in the heavy-duty plant, the original plant, temporarily while New Haven, Indiana, builds us a brand-spanking-new museum just down the road where we can, you know, show everyone this history just a stone's throw from where it happened someday. I should mention that that engineering facility that was built is a very historically iconic building for many reasons. One, it was built by Albert Kahn and Associates, which was one of the largest. They're out of Detroit. They're one of the large, best known builders of factories, you know, through in U.S. history. But it's also, if you look on Google Maps right now and look at, 2911 Meyer Road, M-E-Y-E-R, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and look at that building from the sky, it was built shaped like the old IH logo. So it looked like the IH logo, and that made it very special for a lot of reasons. But so it's been on the top 10 endangered list by Indiana Landmarks the last 2 years, because they know it's a historic building. It was the pretty much the top one last year. It's a building worth saving. The state of Indiana wants to help us save it, and that's why we're optimistic that maybe something can be done down the road to help save that structure before, you know, it happens. Somebody buys an old building and lets it sit, and then eventually it just has to be destroyed. And we're hoping that, you know, we somehow can help through with the help of Indiana Landmarks save that old building.
And Ryan, not that I'm looking for a specific date that there's going to be a groundbreaking ceremony or even a ribbon cutting ceremony, but what is the timetable for the opening of that museum to honor the folks who used to work at the International Harvester facility in Fort Wayne? When is the timetable for that to open in New Haven?
Well, we have a lot of fundraising to do, to get us ready for that. But it's more about, they're going to break ground on the facility, hopefully early spring next year. And the plan is, as I understand it, is that we're going to build a structure on site for us to house our collection. We're in a temporary space now where we have to pay rent, and it's hard to raise money while you're paying rent, you know, at the same time and things like that. For it's not like normal rent where you got to, you know, store 70 trucks and all sorts of, it's a 10 truckloads of historic items we've received from the company. Over the years, I've gone to other structures that International owns, and another one in Melrose Park, Illinois, that was destroyed 2 years ago. That was, you know, it was cleared out by the company. They were done with it. And then, so we went in and took all the history we could find out of it. So we're storing a lot of things, but the plan is to build us a structure on site first that would eventually be our workshop and a vocational training area. But it would be essentially a large pole barn of sorts. I mean, not, it'll be fancier than a pole barn, but that size of building where we can get our collection on site and start, you know, showing off what we have on the site. But completion date, you're probably 2 years away from the actual museum being completed and the entire project that they're doing out there being done. So we just stress patience, and, you know, we'll keep people informed and let them know how things are going. But, you know, I've been very much in limbo since I started this thing in terms of having a permanent home. So I'm just going to have to stay in limbo for a little while longer, but now we know what the plan is, and we know that we've got a town that believes in us. It's amazing to not only have a company like International Trucks, Scout Motors also, and so many different companies support us, but now we have an entire city of New Haven behind us, and we're excited about the future.
Chatting with Ryan Duvall with Harvester Homecoming here on Hoosier Ag Today. When is that big show, and how can folks sign up to be a part of it if they own a Scouts? Let's say they're listening in Evansville, they're listening in Elkhart, they're listening in Madison, Indiana, but want to make the drive to Fort Wayne. They own one of the historic Scouts, want to be a part of your show. How can they sign up to be a part of the show, and when is it taking place later this year?
Yeah, so our festival is always the first weekend in August, whatever days. It has to be a full weekend. So this year it'll be on the 1st and 2nd, Friday, Saturday. So if the first was on a Saturday, we wouldn't do it the 31st. The first, we'd do it the 6th and 7th or whatever. It's always the first full weekend of August, and this year it'll be the 1st and 2nd. It will be at the heavy, we're not sure. We might have it at the new site if we have ground broken and a building done. I don't usually, being in limbo, you wait to announce everything because, you know, at this point we might have it down at the new spot. We just got to wait and see. But, if you Google International Harvester Fort Wayne, you'll find us. On Facebook is the best place to keep track of us. We have a website, but any international truck of any kind, and I say this, that You know, for one, for example, International made the Power Stroke diesel engine that went into Ford pickup trucks 20 years ago. And yes, if you have a Power Stroke engine, you want to bring that truck to my show, it's got International on its bloodline. It can be there. We welcome all the ag side truck, tractors, combines, implements, anything like that. Any truck, any size, you can go on our website or Facebook page and find our registration. We ask for $45 per vehicle, you know, to the register, and that's all not, you know, it's for our nonprofit, helps us fund the festival. But you also get a swag bag and you get a nice, you know, $30 t-shirt anyway. So we're not sticking you too bad. And it seems like $45 might be a lot of money for a truck show, but we don't think it is, as for what all we offer. And like I said, if you just look online, you'll know that there's nowhere else where you're going to take your Scout and park it in a field and then have, through the course of 2 days, you know, 20 to 30 people come up and tell you how they built them. Literally, you know, I put the fenders on that truck. I'm the one that put the bumpers on that truck. It's just really a unique experience. And to be in around the old building, it really takes you back in time a little bit. And so I encourage people that haven't been, I really don't have to encourage anymore. We've become big enough in the realm that we're in that pretty much everyone knows, but I don't take it for granted. So if you haven't been, come check us out. It's a lot of fun.
I just looked up the website. It's harvesterhomecoming.com. So check that out. It's got all the information, the dates for this year's event, as you said, August 1st and 2nd of this year, and registration information as well. And what I love, Ryan, is your personal passion as you continue to share these stories of the thousands and thousands of Hoosiers who worked in Fort Wayne at the International Harvester Truck Production Facility, and your effort to keep that history alive for future generations to become, for future generations to come, because it is a part of Indiana's history. And so much of that history is being lost over time because, you know, a lot of times we take it for granted. And then at some point down the road, someone comes along years later and says, geez, why didn't we think about honoring this facility and all the people who lived here and worked here so much sooner, Ryan?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. You know, when I started this thing, I don't know why nobody decided, hey, you know, that Fort Wayne's a place where they built more trucks than anyone for 60 years. Maybe we should, you know, do something there and have a show or something. It's kind of funny how, you know, it's just funny how I was the one dumb guy that had the idea to do this truck show. And, you know, I'm really glad I did, but, you know, and the more history that we, you know, that we can share, the better. I, you know, my daughter is, like I talked about her earlier, you know, and she loves them, and she's got a 1962 Scout that her daddy got her for her first truck. I know it doesn't have that little 4-cylinder engine. I put a beefier engine in it for her. And, you know, and people say when you come to our show, you see a lot more young people at our show than a lot of them because, you know, we're just a little different. We've got that family heritage, and there's a lot of people that, you know, there's a lot of young people around Fort Wayne that know that because it's been ingrained in their head over the years by their family that, you know, it's just a different kind of truck show, and we have a really different kind of group of people. And I just think it's just fabulous. And I can't even express how honored I've been to share the history. And the only problem now is I know so much of it that I'll kind of ramble on and on and on forever about trucks. So I can bore you if I'm not careful. But
well, see, that's the thing, Ryan, that's the thing. You and I could be recording this particular interview and this podcast for 3-4 hours easily, because I have so many questions about the specific models of trucks that were built in Fort Wayne, and more of the stories of the folks that you've talked to and have gotten to know. And that's the beauty of having this event in early August, is that it's going to be beautiful weather more than likely. And first weekend of August is always gorgeous in anywhere in Indiana.
It's funny you say that, because you know what, some of our longtime people that come to our festival, they refer to Fort Wayne as Fort Rain because my goodness, we've had rain every year.
Really?
The last 3 years, it just happens that we'll have one day where we have rain during the festival. Like this is like 4 years running now. Aww. It's just crazy. But, you know.
Well, hopefully I didn't curse things for this year.
No, it's already cursed. I mean, it's either going to be rainy or it's going to be, you know, 98 degrees high. You know, I shouldn't say that, but, you know, we do our best job to keep everybody comfortable. And, you know, there's a lot of old buildings to hang out in when it's rainy. So that's one good thing about having a truck show, you know, in an old truck plant.
And once again, Ryan Duvall, thank you so much for your passion, your love for International Harvester, sharing the stories of the folks who lived and worked in Fort Wayne, who were part of the legacy of this truck production facility. And thank you again for your time, and thank you for allowing me to share your story here on Hoosier Ag Today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.